Welcome to Sex with Simmery. Frank, occasionally explicit edutainment on the most important topic of all. Sex with Simmery is not intended for children and is not safe for work unless your boss is particularly awesome. See more at sexwithsimmery.com.
Hey, friends and family of Sex with Simmery. We are so grateful to have your listenership. We have the coolest fans in the world. It's pretty much the best. And we hope that the love is mutual. If you are interested in supporting the Sex with Simmery media, either the website, the podcast, head on over to patreon.com/sexwithsimmery and become a supporter. For as little as $1 a month, you can be a regular supporter and continue to bring independent media that provides the kind of information that you want to have out in the world. Over here at Sex with Simmery, we have been doing this stuff for years. As you've noticed, we've got over 200 episodes. The Sex with Simmery website has been up since 2008. We've been giving you the goods for absolutely no cost, and we will continue to do so as long as we can. So thank you so much for your listenership, and we do hope that you will check it out. Patreon.com/sexwithsimmery. Welcome to Sex with Simmery. This is Dr. Simmery. I am tripping on Dayquil. I'm just going to come right out and I'm going to tell you that. So this is going to be a lot of fun. It was already going to be fun because today's guest is dope as hell. We have talked to her before. It was a lot of fun. She's doing incredible things, sex positive, erotica related things. Very, very, very excited to welcome back Mackenzie from Math Magazine. How are you doing?
Doing great. Thanks so much for having me. And I'm glad to be here during your trip.
Yeah. And we discussed before the show that she might just start chugging some Dayquil so that like this gets, so we're on equal footing, really.
Yeah. Just, I got to catch up to you.
Yeah. Cause I might start talking to people who aren't here. They might just like be extra guests and be like, what do you think, little purple person? What's your opinion on the matter? So yeah, you are coming up on the anniversary of Math Magazine. Congratulations.
That's right. Well, technically, we have already passed the mark, having put out issue 0 through 3. But I like to think of February as our sort of birth month, because that's also when my birthday is. Oh. And it's the month of love.
Oh. Are you a Pisces?
I was actually born on Valentine's Day.
Ooh. Okay, so are you still Aquarius at that point, or are you Pisces?
I'm Aquarius, yeah.
Ooh, interesting. Okay. All right. So for the folks who may not have had a chance to hear the last episode you were on, could you just talk a little bit about the inspiration, the history of math, what it is that you create?
Yeah, absolutely. Math Magazine is a print-only porn publication. We come out quarterly, and I'm based out of Brooklyn. The inspiration came in part from like a very typical, like naive experience of porn online. I was dissatisfied, and honestly, going into this, I didn't know anything about publishing or porn at all, and have learned so much in the process. So I'm sort of like an outsider coming in, and I wasn't digging it, and thought that as someone coming from an arts background, I was excited to make something that I was interested in seeing and that the people around me were interested in seeing and even being a part of. And it's really taken off from there. I think, you know, our readers and our contributors are really a lot of the same people. They're just so excited to see something different out there.
So what was out there that you looked around and you're like, I could do this better, I could do this differently, there is something missing? Like, what do you see the existing pornscape doing versus what you're doing?
Yeah, I think I want to frame it from the time when I was first getting into the project, because I've like learned a lot since. But I think someone who identifies as a feminist and is interested in hardcore porn, it feels really complicated. I think I was pretty conflicted about it and wasn't super clear on how things were being made or if everybody was okay with what was happening. Like I said, I've since learned quite a lot about how happy porn stars are. But I think I'm still really dedicated to that transparency that was lacking in my initial experience of porn. With the new website that I'm really excited about, I'm looking to really focus on sharing more and more information about what we do and how we do it, which I think would be refreshing.
What is it that you do differently? How do you make sure that there's that transparency? It sounds sort of to me like we're looking for ethically sourced porn. And how do you go about ensuring that?
Lots of conversations. A lot of people come to me with an interest in contributing in some way. And I always start off by talking about what they're excited about, what turns them on about working with us, and what they're comfortable doing. I've been developing a consent form that's kind of like a mix of legal stuff, like proof of age, but maybe even more importantly, it's about establishing clear communication and boundaries going into the project and really making it clear that everybody has a say in what happens, both like creatively and like sexually.
And it sounds like people are responding enthusiastically to this, that there's definitely a market for this, that even though it's 2017 and this is print only, that you are finding that there is a place for this.
Absolutely. On top of, you know, the radical transparency and being ethical in all the ways we do things, I think people are really interested in seeing somebody talking about porn in a different way, making it in a different way. I'm always pushing for the caliber of our imagery and writing to keep improving more and more. A lot of times when I see sort of like ethical porn or like porn for women, as they call it, it gets really boring really fast for me. And I don't want that to happen with us. I'm trying to always keep things interesting and fresh and trying out new stuff, both in terms of like the bodies you're seeing, the kinks that people are into, and the types of sex they're and fantasies they're engaging with.
Love it. I also just have to say, like, personal aside, I was looking for, like, print porn the other day, just that I needed for, literally for a prop for a show, and so I had, like, a limited amount of time, and I went to several different sex toy stores and you know, places where I just assumed it would be easy to come across, even just, like, went to the kind of convenience stores that carry porn magazines, and it's like so hard to find anything that like caters to me at all, like even just a little bit. So I mean, first of all, like I found this, side note, I was in Las Vegas, I went to this huge porn store, like massive box store, like the place where you could get whatever, and their magazine aisle, I poured over it. And it was just like, nope, 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 no, 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 no.
Those are the shops I need to start getting into.
Yeah, yeah.
I've been thinking about that a lot. I've even been thinking about trying to get advertising space on like bad porn sites, but I feel conflicted, right? Because I'm trying to convert, right? I'm trying to bring people into the fold who are like, like I was, like floundering on these bullshit sites. And so like on one hand, I'd be reaching new people that are looking for something different and don't know that we exist because we're still kind of niche. But at the same time, I'd be giving money to the companies that I'm against.
Yeah, that is like a tough spot to be in. Because I mean, there are absolutely going to be other people out there who are like currently giving their money or not to places that they'd be happier knowing that they were supporting something more ethical. Like there are people who still buy music, come on, you know. Like but at the same time, yeah, that is a pickle, because like that is literally like money in the pockets of those folks, and it's not going to teach them anything. So I mean, I'm not sure if there is any merit to reaching out to those folks and trying to simply persuade them to have better labor practices either. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. I really came on this show just to get some business advice. That's why I'm really here. But yeah, like the store that you went into, I'd love to find a way to be there. I'm thinking about people who aren't in major cities like I am and don't have access to like fancy little sex shops that can like afford to have Math Magazine on the shelves. And Yeah, so I'm really looking for ideas for ways to reach those audiences in creative ways. Maybe I'll have to do some sort of like nationwide tour.
Yeah.
Be like, it doesn't have to be this way.
We can.
There are other options.
We can do it. So I know that the one of the things that you're doing to expand is you're having like, yeah, not necessarily like the live, not necessarily a tour of it, but you're having live events. So mm-hmm. what sort of craziness is involved there? Like, I can only imagine what a porn magazine live event is like. I mean, I feel like I've been to parties like that, but like, I want to know more details.
Right. No sex parties yet, but I'm certainly thinking about that. Starting off slow with some dating. I'm putting on a speed dating event at the co-working space where we are headquartered, Bat House in Bushwick. The name of the event, I think you'll love, it's called Fuck Dating Apps. We even got the URL, www.fuckdatingapps.com.
How is that not taken? That's amazing. You did it.
And it was affordable. Unbelievable. So yeah, I'm really excited about that. There's a great group of women doing amazing work at Bat House, and we've sort of bonded. And we often talk about the trials and tribulations of dating in Brooklyn. And that those conversations kind of spawned this event. We're looking to do two nights. One night will be gay guys on half of the room and hetero singles on the other half. And then on the following night or the following week, we'll be doing gay gals and, more heteros, on the other side of the room. So Natalie, the co-founder of Bat House, and I are scheming up fun ways to, kind of break the ice and get things going in a way that you can't with apps.
Interesting. So I have many questions about this this division. And I say this as a person who this is a very random thing that this came up, but I actually ran a queer speed dating event a couple years ago where the expectation was that people might not have a binary sexual orientation and that we were the way we went around it, and obviously you're going to have your own methodology, but the way we worked around it was having tables of conversation. So we had a methodology for moving people around so that there was always four people talking at one time. And so the expectation is that like you could theoretically be attracted to the other three or none of them or whatever. And that you were moving around. So it wasn't necessarily you only met half the people. And like as someone who identifies as bi, like I wouldn't know which nights to go to. I guess I'd go to both.
All nights. No, I totally hear you. And kind of the sort of logistic necessity to specify these things feels a little bit awkward, to be honest. But I sort of like bit the bullet and was like, let's just be straightforward about it. And as much as I really like this idea of it almost being more of a mingle-like atmosphere. But I also want to keep kind of like a foot in the queer space and a foot in the more vanilla sphere, where I'm always looking to be as inclusive as possible. So that means using more words and trying to be as, inclusive as I can. Yeah. So we'll see.
So I'm curious what your conversations were like with the folks in your co-working space about dating in Brooklyn. Like, just like I would love to hear what sort of trials and tribulations come up. What does that mean? Like for somebody who may not live there or is partnered or whatever, who may be out of that loop.
Yeah. Where to start? I could say right now that I'm in a really great relationship and I'm very happy. Thank goodness. But when I was in the dating pool, I was sort of amazed by how I seemed to really misunderstand the people that I was seeing, or they seemed to misunderstand me on a level I had never experienced in all these other places that I've lived. In my past, I'd be into to somebody and they'd reciprocate those feelings, it would seem. And it would go from there. But in Brooklyn, it would sort of be on that kind of path where it feels like you're on the same level. And then all of a sudden they ghost on you or some shit. And it's like kind of devastating. For example, this is great. I was seeing a guy, you know, early on, 3-4 dates, whatever. Plans for another date, pretty casual. Last minute text of like, oh, he had forgotten that the, I think it was the third presidential debate was going to be on. And for the sake of my like emotional health, I really was avoiding all that. And I was like, yeah, I'm going to pass on that. I don't really want to watch that with you. And then he just ghosted on me entirely.
Oh.
Fuck that guy.
All right. Bye.
Bye.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I can also say that's definitely not exclusive to Brooklyn, but you think based on your experiences, like living elsewhere, that it's more rampant there just because it's, you know, it's a lot of people. So.
Yeah. And there's that sense that everybody's already kind of looking on for the next cool chick. So it's like the dichotomy of choice, which I can kind of understand. But there was a lack of a consistent lack of clarity with like communicating what somebody was looking for, versus their actions, you know? So I would be getting actions that said, hey, I want to be BFGF. And I'm like, cool. And then like words that said otherwise, it was really tough.
Yeah. I'm curious like about this phenomenon of ghosting, right? Like, so that's a term that seems relatively new. And I think most people are familiar with the idea. It's like, you've been clearly seeing each other. There is some sort of established contact that has been going on for more than a date or usually, and then just like someone stops replying. So in case anybody didn't know that word, but I'm so curious if that behavior always happened and we just now have a name for it, or if it's just that because it's so much easier to meet new people via the internet, which has this sort of semblance of anonymity, and then the idea that you could just like disappear back into the ether, that this is a new behavior? I don't know.
I think something that I've been wondering too is, I think that some of these guys that I was seeing had just been in a long-term relationship. So they very quickly fell back into the body language and tone of being in a serious relationship.
Yeah, okay.
And so without even realizing it early on, they would seem very sort of romantic, and maybe to a degree that they weren't even cognizant of. And maybe I'm giving them too much credit or whatever, too much leeway, but I could see that being the case. And that's like superhuman, like wanting to fall back into the intimacies of a relationship, but emotionally not actually being there yet.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely think we're still lacking in any sort of, you know, standardized universal education around like how to date. How does date? Like if you're the sort that like, you know, you started as a teenager, you theoretically get some more practice, and then if you didn't start early, you're like, what? No, I gotta catch up. But then also if you started as a teenager, you might have been one of those like, I'm with somebody for 5 years and then I'm with somebody else for 5 years. You don't actually know how to just go out on dates and like be together 4 or 5 times and then be like, well, that was fun. You know, like there's just so little education about how to communicate desires and interests and how to figure out what you're actually looking for, much less to convey that to another human being in a polite way. So instead, it seems like, well, the nice thing to do is act polite to someone and then just not tell them hurtful things, right? Which is clearly not true. If the thing that you're going to tell them is the truth. But yeah, this is like another thing, like a facet of sexuality education I wish was just like available to everyone in like high school.
Yeah. And it's important to be in touch with yourself too. I know that they're, you know, I'm not perfect, and the headspace I was in when I was dating wasn't always the best. I had to get my shit right too, in order to really be present with another person. Yeah, it's complicated.
Yeah, and
it's hard.
Yeah. So going back to the speed dating event, how will you integrate like these lessons, like these things that you've seen like so far? You know, we've mentioned like ghosting, etc. How do we want to do things differently? How will this event be better than going online and swiping?
Well, I think just inherently taking the risk of going to a thing in real life is a real distinguishing factor. And you, I think a lot about how you can't get that sense of chemistry in terms of pheromones and body language and eye contact through apps. So I'm really eager to see that. I know that we're interested in pushing everyone to get past the sort of small talk as early as possible without it also being uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. So I'm interested to see how that'll play out, honestly. Yeah, we'll see what happens.
Yeah. I mean, those are enormous points. Like, I'm thinking about a friend of mine who currently is having like some time like dating, and the number of people that he's, you know, set up dates with, and they clearly had a time and a place, and then they either didn't show up or they just canceled with like a half an hour, 45 minutes or whatever until it was supposed to happen, and how disappointing that can be. So like just getting even together physically is huge. And then also like that point, like when I've been on dating apps, it's just like this is like shopping for shoes. They might look cool as hell, but really I'm way more interested in how they feel. So like I will know if this is the right shoe when I try it on. I cannot tell on the website, Amazon. Sorry. Like
that was the best pull quote I've ever.
No, but it's true. Like, I've never dated anybody that I met off of a website where I was like, yeah, I absolutely envisioned you correctly. The person I created in my brain based on what you wrote in your profile was the experience of being around you. I have not – that is not my imagination. That's not how it works. I have to meet people IRL first for to work. So I think that's super insightful. Yeah.
I think a lot about where different people thrive the most. You know, for example, I think I'm good at writing. So I did well on someplace like OkCupid, where it's very focused on sharing a lot in your profile and spending a good amount of time messaging. Somebody like myself, I think, thrives with that. Whereas, you know, a friend of mine, he's not really great at writing. He's not great at like texting and messaging. He's somebody that might do better at something like the speed dating event, where in person he's super charismatic, off the cuff conversation, like super funny. I think everybody has their space when they'll sort of be able to be themselves the most. And right now with apps, there isn't that much variety. There are many opportunities for different sorts of people to really express themselves. On that note, like, I would love to have a Math Magazine dating app. I'm not working on anything, to be clear, but sort of on this note of ways we can express ourselves, something that comes to mind is like old school, like video dating profiles.
Ooh. Yeah, where you can like see like, them and how they move and how they talk.
Yeah. You know, for like multimedia dating.
Yeah. Yeah. Bringing back the classics. So you're doing other events though too. I want to make sure we hear about those. I know you've got sexy storytelling coming up.
That's right. I'm working with New Women's Space, this really great community space in Brooklyn, to do a sexy storytelling evening. We're interested in almost creating like a live action version of the magazine, where we really get to see this kind of openness and freedom that I hope the magazine really engenders in people. I'm interested in having all sorts of folks talk for maybe up to don't know, like 5-10 minutes, and just give us the hottest of the hot. You know, fantasy is a reality for us to enjoy.
I like it. So has there been like a fair amount of interest? Are people like excited to share this stuff? Are they trepidatious?
A little bit. I think with like both of these events, you know, people are a little bit bashful. And I imagine there being a bit of like slow growth, you know, with each event that happens and people see that it's safe and fun. That will pick up some steam. But I think early on, you know, it's going to be a bit intimate with people kind of sticking their necks out a little bit. I'm also really excited about a movie event that we're putting on. We're putting on a movie event at Syndicated, also in Brooklyn. We're going to be showing two movies, one on Valentine's Day and one the night before on the 13th. We'll be doing Crash, the good one.
Oh, the one about the people who are into the car crashes?
Yeah.
Ah.
It's kind of also like a James Spader marathon because the Valentine's Day movie is Secretary.
Okay. All right, Spader.
All right. Hello.
And then we just watched in Boston Legal for a while. Okay. All right. Rona Mitra. All right. Nobody else? Okay, cool.
yeah, it's gonna be a lot of fun. I put together some great little goodie bags for the first 30 people to come to each screening. Lots of little treats, and we're actually gonna do little previews of Erica Lust videos before the movies. So if you come early, there's lots of incentives and treats.
I'm loving that. I actually want to go back to the storytelling thing for a second, if we can. So you've already held some. Has already had your first one?
No. You're in terms of the response that we've had from potential like readers and stuff. Mm-hmm. It's been a little bit of a slow collection of poems, but I'm hoping to get about like 3 or 4 real like headliner types, you know, like prose to really kind of, I don't know, to be pillars of the evening, pillars of the sexy evening.
So we're sort of aiming for like The Moth, but like slutty.
Yeah, you're not the first person to say that.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah. Exactly.
Okay. Well, so in Philadelphia, we actually have the Erotic Literary Salon. We had the host and curator of that on the show at one point years ago. And that's been incredibly popular. It's like, I think it's, is it every Tuesday or it's like one or maybe it's one Tuesday a month or something like that here in Philly. But yeah, that's been a very, it's a cornerstone. It's one of those things that people come out for. So there's definitely folks who are gonna make that their thing. And they get all sorts of stuff.
I'll have to check it out.
Yeah. They get funny stuff. They get weird stuff. They get people who are bad at storytelling. They have people who are amazing. so it's, you know, there's the regulars who come out all the time, and then you just get like the folks who venture out and give it a shot and then go back to wherever it was that they were from, like, et cetera. So
sounds like a good mix. That's nice.
Yeah. But yeah, that's like definitely a place. Cause I, you know, like I have a little bit of experience like attending story slams and Moth and stuff like that. And like, what a fun like thing when somebody can pull it off, when somebody could do it well and they have a meaningful story, or, you know, it's just like good at talking. It's great. It's like, it feels like the oldest form of entertainment. It's like really, really genuine, especially if it seems like it's a personal story as opposed to like something that they found elsewhere. But yeah, the fact that those almost never are sexy in nature has always been disappointing to me. It's like, you know, sometimes people will allude to abuse or something, but I personally have never really heard any super sexy stories at like a story slam. So I am stoked for the idea of a whole night of that.
Me too.
That's banging. That's awesome. So anything else that you are cooking up that we haven't already mentioned?
Well, of course, there's going to be the release party for issue 4. I'm really hoping to get a really cool and fancy venue that I don't want to say yet because it's not pinned down, but I'm really looking to up the ante in terms of the debauchery and surprises.
All right. I'm looking forward to this. I am also super excited. I still have yet to actually see a mask because I'm all the way in Philadelphia and we don't have it. So I have
Oh my gosh, let me mail you one. I'm so sorry.
Oh my God, please do. Oh my God, I'm so excited. Oh my God.
I thought I sent you one. I'm such a disaster. I'm sorry.
I think we got like a digital copy before our last conversation. I'm pretty sure. But yeah, I am such a perv. It's so excited for it.
I'm writing myself an email right now.
Yay! It's my birthday suddenly. Late holiday present. Early Valentine's? I don't know. It's happy day. That's what's happening. It's a happy day. That's awesome. So yeah, what else do you have like in store for math? Like, what's the direction it's heading? Are you finding that it's more specific or broader than you'd initially expected? Like, where are you going?
I'm just always looking to push our imagery and writing. That means, you know, continuing to be super explicit while also really finding super refined work. And always surprising our readers. Like I said earlier, you know, keeping things surprising and new and exposing people to things they maybe haven't seen before or thought about before. And I'm learning to really embrace the nature of each issue. You know, last issue had a lot of poetry in it. That was unexpected, but I sort of just paid attention to what was good and went with the flow. And with this issue, it's really looking like there's a lot of stories, a lot of strong female leads, which is fantastic and a testament to the kind of attitude I think we're encouraging in people. To give you a taste, you know, I've got a story about lactation kink.
Ooh.
I was really excited to fetishize a mother, sexualize a mother. We've got an amazing sci-fi piece that to me is like the epitome of like erotic sci-fi where, you know, on the surface, it's this serious story that also hits on some meaningful sexual and political ideas that I think is really unique to the craft of good sci-fi. Having all those layers while also turning you on. And there's a really fantastic dom sub story that is just dynamite.
Dope. I'm excited. So for folks who are now slobbering thinking about this and they want to get their own copy, how can we get Math Mag?
Math is available on our brand new site, math-mag.com. We're also in stores across the country. Plus, our first and only international retailer is Good For Her in Canada, which I'm really happy about. They're a big deal.
International, nice.
Yeah. And all the information of the stores that we're sold in is on our site, too.
Awesome. So I want to thank you so much, Mackenzie, for finding time to talk to us and telling us what you are up to and going out there and fighting the good fight against ghosting.
My pleasure.
I appreciate you. Appreciate you. So again, this was Mackenzie from Math Mag. Check it out. Buy it at a local retailer if it's near you. Go to the website. And thank you all very much for listening. And have a fantastic day. Thank you for listening to Sex with Timmery. Sex with Timmery, the podcast, is produced by Nathan Karuna. Our opening music is by Charles Evans. Our closing music is by Hanya Lee. Be sure to check out sexwithtimmery.com, Sex with Timmery on Facebook, and tweet at me, Timmery_LEIGH. If you're a fan of the show, if you like it at all, a little bit maybe even, rate and review us on iTunes and tell your friends all about it. And thank you.